This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, welcome to the sesh. Lola, how you doing? For everybody that doesn't know you, kind of explain a little bit about what you do.
Absolutely. So, well, thank you for having me on. I'm really excited just to share more about what I'm doing so that it actually helps and connects with someone, right? But my name is Lola Linarte. I own a marketing and PR firm in New York City. That's where I am right now, called Alma Feliz Group. But I'm from the Valley. I was raised in South Padre Island, and I love all things RGB. but I've been now living in New York for 8 years this month. And prior to that, 8 years. And then prior to that, I was living in Austin for 6. So, but still a Texas girl at heart.
Is everything as fast paced as they say it is over there?
It's faster. It's harder. It's rougher. It's dirtier. It's more than you imagine, but I love it. I love it so much because it's a hard city to pretend to be something. So it really forces you to fix your story, fix your attitude, or like it will eat you up.
Oh, damn. So one of the most important things that I've stumbled upon when I started back in digital marketing back in 2016 was the power of a personal brand. And the reason why I like it so much is that if you have a personal brand, you can literally take that personal brand anywhere in the world, anywhere you go, and it follows you everywhere you go. So you get the respect, you get the notoriety, obviously if you're competent, right? But I kind of want you to explain, hopefully. I want you to kind of explain the power of personal branding and what it does for businesses.
Yeah. So I would like to start with what it is, first of all, because it's a relatively new term. Like you said, it hasn't even been around for 10 years. We've known of it, but there hasn't been a term to coin what personal branding is. And essentially, it's just the practice of marketing oneself, yourself, and your career and rolled up into one as a brand. And it's the way of the future now, especially since Instagram, right? 2016 was the height of the makeup gurus, right? And they made a killing. These people weren't professional brands. They weren't L'Oreal. They weren't Sisley Paris. They were just some, girl that happened to like to do her makeup and she knew how to do it well, marketed herself. And then now she made so much money just off her vibe and her persona alone. So because people are just more than ever, I've noticed people are just, and maybe you do too, are tired of being sold to. Yeah. They have these corporations just like selling them this, how to look this way, don't do this, go here, buy that. And people are just, it's so much noise. Yeah. It's so much noise. So now people, especially post the COVID world, want connection and community. And you can do that by resonating to your audience and connecting with them and convincing them to buy from you.
What do you think it is about that personal touch that gives it that, that element of like, oh, I'm not selling to you, but if you like what I'm giving you, then you can buy from me. What do you think it is?
Well, it's because people just since we were kids, right? We want to belong to something, right? We want to feel like we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. And just in the way in which we consume media now, it's no longer watching on TV and it feels so far away with movie stars or, shoot, I don't even know. I remember watching Channel 5 News and just thinking like Marcy Martinez and Tim Smith and all these people just seemed larger than life. And it was too far away. There wasn't like a proximity to them. And so now with personal branding and people, you know, advocating what their core beliefs are and what they're about, it gives you an opportunity to connect. So while they may be in another part of the world, you just think, wow, you know, I feel seen. I feel like someone else has got this problem and they're vulnerable and they're sharing, and maybe in a way that I don't feel so comfortable doing just yet, but this makes me feel not so alone. Yeah. And they build that trust, and then it compels me to buy whatever it is that they're selling that I might not even need.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's funny that you bring up Tim Smith, because the other day I had a dream about him last night. It's a strange thing in the world. I swear. I saw him bike riding on Second Street, and I was like, hey, that's Tim Smith, isn't it? I was like, sure enough, it was. And I had a dream about him last night. But oh, it's true. God. Like that power of the personal brand is it breaks barriers, because, you know, you think about that, like you go anywhere, like if you see him at South Padre Island, you're going to know who Tim Smith is. You go to New York and you run into Tim Smith, you're going to know who it is. That's the power of the personal brand. And I think it's the best investment that anybody can make, because if you think about it, 10 to 12 million businesses are going to close every single year. And that's a scary number. It's a staggering number.
So scary. Across all industries, too. It's not just restaurateurs. It's not just, you know, someone trying to sell fashion. It's across all industries that they open and shut. Usually within a year, or definitely within three. It's hard.
Yeah. And I found that, you know, obviously investing in yourself and investing in your personal brand is probably the best way to go, because, I mean, you put money into a business, you want it to survive, keep on going and keep on going. But sometimes the business doesn't survive. So investing in yourself and as a personal brand, you know, you get to take that to the next business, or you get to take your knowledge to the next business. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that's a really great question, because I'm fearful sometimes when people put so much stake into their social media platforms. Not that it's not important. I feel like that is 100% what you need to do. But there's so much of a comparison factor on these things. So you're constantly motivated or pulled to do these other things that you see other people doing, instead of like who you are, right? What am I about? You know, what are my core beliefs? My brand, I always bring it back to the three things, like brand core, your brand positioning, and your brand persona, right? And if you know those things about you, and it doesn't have to be static, I may change my mind in 6 months and adjust for that way. If I decide, you know, that I want no longer to be a photographer, right? If I know these things about myself, I can shift easier into something else, right? Or I can have an extension of my services, because this is a natural evolution of where that is that I'm going. If you don't have those things, you're always going to be, you're always going to not stand for who you are as an individual and just be rocked to your core by anybody else doing something that's shinier, faster, better, more, making more money than you. And it's a shame. It's kind of a shame.
I think I'm with every other entrepreneur out there that suffers from a shiny object syndrome, because I think I had success in one thing and I can do the other thing, and I failed in all the other things. So can you kind of touch on that?
Yeah, I think that really more than anything, it's bringing it back to yourself. And I say authenticity is my North Star. What does that mean, right? We're always given a ton of these buzzwords, but more than anything, we can't help but be shiny ball syndrome and have the attention span of a gnat, right? We're in an attention economy. They call it attention economy. And the swiping motion, right? I think at most globally, I think there's a statistic that you have about 7 seconds to capture someone's attention. I think that's being generous. I think it's like the Swedes and all these people who are much more patient than we are. Because I think max you get like maybe a second or two to convince and compel somebody. So that's that pressure we consistently feel. But if you bring it back to, all right, who is my target demo? What do I really want to do? What do I not want to do? And if you could always bring it back to that, you will have shiny ball syndrome, right? You're a human, but it's not going to rock you, right? You're going to know what you're about and just not get deterred from that. I see it all the time across all industries with my clients where I'm like, no, no. Like, we'll bring it back, and It's hard. It's hard. Hopefully you have like a good soundboard and a good support system that doesn't let you do that.
Yeah, no, I don't have anybody. Now I got you.
You got
now you
me.
Focus on this and you go forward with this.
Yeah. And it's difficult, right? Because, you know, to expand on that, we have this need for instant gratification and instant validation. So if you have combined that with shiny ball syndrome and you don't let something play out long enough, it's never going to be enough. You're never doing enough. You're never making enough. You're never going to satiate this pit that you have because of that. And, you know, I'm sure you see this with your clients too. You have to set expectations with them, right? To let them know, hey, we got to let the numbers speak for themselves.
For sure.
Right. Like it's going to take some time, at least a couple quarters, right? You know, buying patterns are changing, you know, the way people are interacting, seasons are going to change, you know, money's going to be spent in different ways. And if you don't have enough, you don't let it breathe enough, like a good wine, it's, you know, you're always going to be spinning your wheels.
Yeah, I almost feel like a lot of, you know, obviously the business owner is a business owner, right? So they're focused on the business, and then they're bringing on a marketing or advertising team, and they're trying to jump into that too, but it's not their strength. So I've noticed that most business owners don't really even know what a marketing strategy is or an advertising strategy is. And when I lay it out, I explain to them, like, I at least need 6 to 8 months of some data that's coming back in. That way you can make an informed decision over the long term versus like, it didn't work this month, or it didn't work this week, or I didn't like this. And this go. Have you seen that on your end?
You know, it's different. It's different because I've had clients like that before that were, or individuals I worked with, that they really wanted to see that cash flow come in and validate their expense on a marketing strategy right away. But I will say not so much with my clients at Alma Felice, because I almost vet them. I vet them before just how serious they are, if they have a long-term strategy mindset, if they have a growth mindset. And if they do, then we're never going to run into this, right? But I do speak to some people that I ultimately refer to others. And I notice, oh, you know, we're never going to speak the same language, because they want it right away. They run away. And essentially it signals to me that they won't value what I'm ultimately offering them. And what I'm really trying to tell them is like, look, like I'm trying, yes, you're spending this money now for this 6, 8 months, whatever it is that we decide to do, so that a year from now, 2 years from now, you're making decisions with numbers. You can't fight, instead of just throwing spaghetti at a wall and hoping what sticks, and then just keeping these mistakes happening in trial and error. Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, it's hard.
Well, it's interesting, because I would say like a lot of times when a new business owner comes on, like they're not really versed in the marketing advertising aspect. Right. So
they're not supposed to be, they're not supposed to know everything.
It's like bringing them on board, and then now they have to do another thing. It's, you know, sometimes it seems like a daunting task for them, because now they have to manage your business. Now they have to manage this aspect of it. Now you got to do this. Now you got to do this. So a lot of times it gets a little overwhelming. What do you do in those instances sometimes? I guess you said you vetted them, but like, what do you do in those instances where you kind of like bring the business owner back in, like, calm down, this is the path that we're going to go on?
Yeah, I bring it back to their strengths, right? I bring it back to, you know, I often have a lot of clients that at the beginning of our beginning intake, or when we're first working with one another, they say, well, I can do this, and I can do this, and I'm good at this, and maybe I could do this. And it's just, what do I say? And, you know, it's almost this fear that by not sharing all the aspects that they can offer, that they're lessening and watered down their product, or they're not communicating how of the breadth of services that they can provide. And I remind them, this is not unique to you, right? We just have to crawl before we run. So if we are getting lost in the weeds of all the things that we could do, we're not moving, and it's not going to materialize into a plan. So I bring it back down to, what are the immediate goals? right? And it can't be more clients, more money, because that's everybody, right? Just get really specific. And then when we do that, it honestly lays itself out. I'm like, oh, well, we want to focus on these three things this quarter, and everything else will branch out from that. Yeah, because otherwise it's just too much. And then we run into the paradox of choice, and we have too many choices that we end up not choosing. So my job is to just say, okay, let's get creative, but also let's be smart and bring it back. And then we'll go from there.
Can you explain some of the goals that your clients have? Like what are the main goals? Maybe let's just say like for three of your clients, this is one of their goals, this is their goal, like different goals that they each have.
Sure. So I have clients. My clients are mostly women. I will say this. So I'll give context that way. My clients are mostly women. I have male clients as well, but they tend to be women who have been doing what they're doing. They're experts in their field, or they're seasoned professionals in their industry. And one of my clients specifically wants to position herself for the highest position in her company. She wants to eventually be a CEO. There's a lot of politics in that, right? It's not just your personality and fun things that you've done. It's building your network. So that's her goal. Her goal is to, at some point, be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. So my job is to brand her as an expert in her field and to make her omnipresent, right? That's just, she's everywhere. She's being picked up by, you know, Fortune magazine, or she's an economist, she's speaking to a university, she's writing amazing articles on LinkedIn that are quick blurbs, digest. It's just that, right? So she's not selling a service, right? She's not selling a product. She's selling herself as the brand and her expertise and her knowledge. So our goal is to just craft everything that she's done and control the narrative. You know, I think you and I spoke earlier, and I was like, what comes up when you Google yourself, yeah, right? Her goal is to control that narrative. So when she types in her name, or anybody types her name, all the best good stuff comes up. And, you know, in modeling, right, it's like, you're only as good as your worst picture. So it's like figuring out how to just present that. You know, I have clients who have different goals as well, that one wants to shift into a different area, into photography, that for the last 15 years, she's been running her business in a very specific way. And she's ready for more. She's ready to have more consistency and not rely so heavily on the particular section of photography that she's in, but that's all she's done for 15 years. Right. So it's scary to almost shift your business model in this way. So we're figuring out how to position her in that way, so it doesn't confuse her consumers. It just lends itself to be a natural extension of her services.
Okay.
So everything's different.
What are some of like the common pitfalls that like when you work with business owners, I'm sure you've seen the same thing across the board over and over and over again. Like, what are those main things that you see?
There's so many things, right? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if my clients or even individuals, I see this happening. And just because, you know, I'm a consumer too, and I'll go through Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and I'll absorb information that way. But there's three key things I see to someone who's looking to do a personal brand that keeps them from just even launching, right? You know, or showing growth. I actually wrote a LinkedIn article about this recently. And it really was, one, evaluating their relationship with perfectionism, mm-hmm, right? Because they're like, oh, well, it needs to be perfect. And, you know, I feel like that's who I am. And I want to make sure that it reads this way and that way. And if it's not, I don't want to put it out there. And I think, well, that's a crutch, and it's not a point of pride, because what's keeping you from doing that? It's like, it's a path to pitfall, yeah, right? And they never start. So you have someone who's less qualified, less intelligent, has a lesser product than you, that's not thinking twice. It's not overthinking it. And then putting their stuff out there, and then they're capturing the business. Yeah. And then imposter syndrome, people like feel that they haven't done enough, that they haven't earned enough, they haven't been in the industry enough, not enoughness. So they'll just end up putting pictures of their cat or their vacation. And it's like, they refuse to, you know, position themselves in that way. And then something else is the fear of self-promotion, right? Is, you know, Gen Z and everybody younger than us, they don't care. They've lived with a phone in their hand and they're sharing everything about their life, good, bad, in between. And you have some very, well, you know, just seasoned professionals who have really cool stuff to share, but they're like, oh no, I don't want to brag. I don't want to come across as like, you know, a know-it-all. And I think you should. You should share. You should share. And then just overall, I mean, lesser, you know, other points is inconsistency. You use confusing language on your homepage, on your website. Like, you know, you're saying you do one thing here, another thing there. And then overall, I think people confuse, you know, social media with whomever participates with it actively, that they're trying to be an influencer. And that's not the point. The point is to influence. And you don't have to do the song and dance and, you know, all these trends to provide influence.
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing that I found, because I had to figure out real fast, because I had a bunch of my clients come to me. It's like, can we do some dances? And I was like, sure, we could try it. It's fine.
Or...
But at the end of the day, I mean, you're not really providing any information or education, because the one thing that I learned from digital marketing is the only way you can build a strong personal brand or strong business is by providing education, information, and or entertainment, any of the three or one, whatever.
Sure.
And I really had to dive in to tell the clients, like, you don't have to dance in front of the camera if you don't want to.
Right.
Like, provide the service, provide the education, because at that point you become the expert in your field and everybody's going to come for you, not because you're dancing, but because of the information. It's just a very interesting thing to see that I think a lot of people think that they have to share everything on social media.
No.
And social media is like, you show them what you want to show them.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's something you know, kind of is cringy to me when I think that's what people feel like they need to do. And I've seen this with, unfortunately, attorneys. That's a big one right now. Dentists, just people in these different fields where, look, like you can do that if you'd like, if you want to have these other extensions of yourself on in persona on Instagram. But I wonder, at what point does that convert? Are you is there intention to convert that into leads, into clients for their law practice? You know, is it, you know, doing it so that they're getting braces of clients in their chair? Because it blurs so much of that for me. And I like to lead from a position of, you are an expert, right? Professionalism, you know, a nice balance between professionalism and personal things. You know, quite frankly, I don't need to see, you know, a neurologist sing a dance, right? Unless you're just offering me information, that's the extent of it. But I personally don't think that it's going to influence me to book sessions with him should I ever need a neurologist.
I mean, yeah, it would be kind of cool to see your neurologist dance while you're in there, you know.
Oh, God bless. So, I'm like, comedic relief. Do your job, please.
So on that same subject, so there's so many people out there giving information. How does one stand out from all the noise?
Yeah, so it's really getting clear on who you are and how you differentiate yourself. So, you know, when I was saying earlier, figure out your brand core. What do you stand for? What's important to you? What are the principles of your brand as an individual, right? And then that leads ultimately to how you position yourself and share your, you know, your well-earned years of whatever it is that you're doing. Or at least if you're green, right, it'll help shape, right, who exactly you're targeting. You know, when I hosted a television show in Austin, Texas, I unfortunately had someone I was doing the show with steal money from the business, from me. And I share that story often because so much of how I conduct my own business and my own personal brand is integrity above all else. And so that, you know, having those checkpoint, you know, helps you so that that is what I lead and I try and share, right? Yeah. With my potential client. And I'm clear. I'm very clear on who she is. And something that gets brought up all the time to me is, but my industry is saturated. How do I stand out? And I say, mostly every industry is. Every industry is saturated. You just have to cut through the noise by being clear on who you are. And the goal, and you have to remember, the goal is not to be everything to everybody.
Right.
The goal is to be everything for your target demo and be consistent. And if you can bring it back down to that, then you can experience growth. But if you're not clear from the first place, in the first place, you're always going to get lost, because I always say, well, don't think of a red Volkswagen. And you're going to think of one because it's very specific. If you don't give your target audience an opportunity to even find you, and because with specificity, they're never going to find you.
Right. Yeah, I think you touched on something very important, which is integrity. I don't think a lot of business owners understand that, like, when you're bringing their business onto the digital world of the internet, like, it's open to a whole, and it's not always good people that are on the internet, right? So you kind of have to manage their reputation online. And I found this to be something that most business owners don't really understand. Like, for example, I work with a couple of schools, and I am the person that blocks the negative coming in from certain things that get posted, or certain things that might go through. You know, I keep a watchful eye on it. And I think it's super important because it keeps the integrity of the client. It keeps the integrity of the business. So can you touch on that as well?
Yeah, I think people take for granted that is something that they are, right? I think people think, well, of course everyone's trustworthy. You know, of course that they have integrity. Of course they're they're good people. And that's not necessarily the case. So sometimes you don't have to spell it out, but you do have to have that as part of your marketing speak, even when you're having writing copy, right? You have to be mindful of these, of the sensitivities of your target demo, of your client, of your potential client, because if we bring up a dentist again, I want to feel, you know, me personally, what's going to influence my decision on who I go with is, yes, years of expertise with someone. I want someone who's great at their job, but that's baseline. Of course, everyone's going to be great. But then I also think, what's the environment? What is the culture of your dental practice? You know, have you made a concerted effort, and are you communicating that to me on your website or your social media that, you know, we cater to an audience of people who have fear of the dentist, right? We go out of our way to make sure that you are comfortable here from start to finish.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm just like, there's a million dentists, but if I see someone doing that, that's going to influence me. And those things that really are unique to you, right? Or if that's something that's so important to who you are as a business and a brand, share that, right? Something must have happened in your life to influence that is something that's a principle that you have, you know, fundamental pillars of who you are as a person. Share that, you know, lead with that, and that your people will find you.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because a lot of business owners, you know, they want to integrate like their personal values. Like for me, I'm a God-fearing man, right? And I don't talk about it much because, you know, it's religion and politics and stuff like that. So I'm walking a fine line, but the older I get, the less I'm caring. And I don't know if it's a good thing, because at the end of the day, I feel like I'm putting out a positive message. So if the positivity alone is going to attract more positivity, and I'm not really interested in the negative part. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, yes, I think that whatever you lead with, it's that energy out, energy in. I don't judge anybody for having a cause, right? That maybe, you know, might be more sensitive to other people, or might not resonate with other people, might repel other people. But I think that even if you have, you know, you are, you know, you're God-fearing, you're positive, that's going to dictate everything that you do and repel the people that you don't. And that's, again, going back to, you're not everything for everybody. Yeah. Right. There might be someone who has more of like a negative view, who's a little bit more, jaded, and they're going to attract that person that's negative and jaded. So, I mean, that brand works, that's going to work for them too.
How do you get over that? Because it took me years to be able to like become myself and be authentic, like you said, because I always struggle with that too. Is like, what's authenticity? Like everybody always talks about authenticity. Right. What is that? So what is it about that?
Yeah. I think that people just, especially in this world now that we talk about that a lot, is just we've moved away from having smaller communities and being able to, you know, trust our guts by seeing people in person, that now that we're more of a digital age, we are we're wanting to be discerning, but we don't necessarily trust ourselves, or maybe we get it wrong, or people are just really good at like faking it, right? That's that whole fake it till you make it. But I think that for me, to be authentic, just is a constantly checking in, right? We're always evolving, just, and having grace with myself of like, I didn't get that right, you know, and being okay and learning. Because you're right, authenticity is another one of those, is one of those words that keeps getting thrown around. And it's just really, do I like myself? Am I adding value? Why am I doing this? You know, why am I being compelled to do this or not? Is it just for my ego? Right. And if it is, then it's like, ooh, yeah, no, like you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
No, I feel like a lot of times, like, we're like, I turned 42, 43, I forget, whatever. But the rest of the time that I have left, I want to have a positive impact on the world that I, you know, obviously in the time that I have left, right? So with my business, I want to be able to push that forward as well. And it's obviously trying to help business owners, because I always go back to the statistic is the 10 to 12 million businesses. And it's shocking, because I'm a business owner. I've worked with business owners that have gone out of business. I know business owners that have gone out of business. And it's not only here in the Rio Grande Valley, it's literally everywhere across the nation. And it's one of the scariest things. So let me ask you this. What are the top three tips that you can help a business owner realize today that they can go out with this information and help their business move forward?
That's a heavy question, right? I don't pretend to have all the answers in that way, but if it, in regards to personal branding, right, really bring it back down to who you are, what you're offering, who your target demo is, right? And it's not about reinventing the wheel, right? It is just about being so clear and so concise and telling beautiful stories, right? So if you can consistently do that, and some people, it might be visual, right? They might be great at photography and conveying themselves this way. It might be with their writing, right? Or it might be with them on camera. Share that, right? And be so relentless. Entrepreneur life is not for the faint of heart, and it is a marathon. So, you know, expect bad seasons, prepare for them. Almost have like a farmer's mentality where, you know that cotton is going to dry up this, you know, the soil, but you're going to prepare. Just always anticipating that, right? Having people on their team that know better than them makes a big difference. Sometimes people get very intimidated by having other people on the team that know more about certain areas, or admitting fault, or admitting you don't know something, right? Like, surround yourself with people who want to champion you and have the similar causes you do too. Otherwise, you know, solo entrepreneurs, right? It's always a cash flow thing, but I promise you that there are, you know, you can find a mentor. I promise you can find Chamber of Commerce. There's all these resources available to you so that you're not just like stuck in, you know, spinning your wheels by yourself and then just, you know, feeling the doom of a slow season or, you know, light cash flow. But there's so many things. Market yourself better.
Yeah, I think one of the most
really good things marketing help
that I stumbled upon was the mentorship and of entrepreneurs, because I literally, you can go to a conference that's in San Antonio. You just had one, right? You just had
I just had a workshop. I conducted a workshop.
So like those type of things where you can pay like $500, $1,000, $3,000 to get mentored in a 1 day or a 3 day weekend, like you're getting all that experience that they've had over their whole career. Like, it's the most amazing thing in the world. I don't think people really understand that.
It's all around us, right? There's, you know, that's why I do what I do, is because, you know, my portfolio is in luxury goods. And I live in New York, so I've operated at the highest levels with margin of error, nothing, right? Yeah. So now I knew that there was a void in emerging businesses and products and services, individuals wanting to market themselves, but they didn't have the marketing budget of a major corporation, right? So there was that void there, and I thought, I'll pay it forward. I want to help these people, and I feel such a gratification with that. And then I too also have people mentoring me. So it's not, you know, it's continuous, right? And you bring people up as you go along, and then someone else is bringing me up too. But you got to look. It's not going to fall in your lap. You have to be so active and so relentless on that search. so that you don't fall through the cracks.
I think you're absolutely right. The emerging trends that are coming up with personal branding, is it always going to be the fundamentals that work, or do you have to follow trends? What are you seeing?
Oh, it's both. It has to be both, right? It's like you think of a hairstylist, right? So much of their job is to be trendy and know like color, you know, this placement of this, or bobs are in, or oh my God, fades are so out. But the fundamentals are the same, right? This is how you cut hair. You know, this is what you do, what you don't do. You need to have these structural foundational things like in place, like buried into the crevices of your mind. Otherwise, it is just a free for all. And who knows what the heck you're going to do with any business, right? There are marketing 101 things. And so before I get creative on figuring out the algorithm change of the day, right? Or, you know, what new AI tool is happening that's like going to improve. Before I could do that, I need to know what the heck I'm doing. Yeah. So you need both. You need both.
What are your thoughts on AI? Because I dug into it last year. As soon as I got access to ChatGPT, I used it for 2 to 3 hours every single day so I can start figuring it out, just learning it and learning it and learning it. And a lot of people were like, well, that's cheating. It's not you. I was like, but the research behind it, like you can research so much faster, like you learn quicker. Like, can you kind of touch on what you're using AI for, or are you using AI?
Sure. Yeah, I'm using AI for so many things. You know, right now, and we use Canva as one of our tools that we offer. You can do so much. You can just be like underwater, shipwreck, or a shipwreck with this and this, and it sets the whole mood, right? So you can do fun graphics with it. I mean, it's so many of these things are still in beta. So, you know, it's by trial and error. I know I have some individuals and some clients that want to use that to, you know, write bios faster for themselves, for their entire team. You know, that's an ability. That's a very great aspect that of AI is just, it does write faster. It's not perfect, right? So they'll read the bios afterwards because they'll have a short form, long form. And that's something that used to take weeks, unfortunately, right? With a human writing them for each individual person on the team. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, what we saw when Instagram and all these social media things were happening, the laws didn't catch up, right? And for a while. So plagiarism is kind of a fear of mine with that. But up until then, I think we're still playing. It's like still in the new phase of integration in a business and for business owners. So I think for the time being, I'm a fan of it for what I've seen, to your point too, for research. You can learn so much, but yeah, the laws catch up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the people that learn how to use AI are the ones that are going to take the jobs of the people. It's not the AI that's going to take the jobs of the people. But before we start the podcast, let everybody know where they can find you and if they need some services, because you service everywhere, right?
Yeah, as long as there's an internet connection, we have clients all over. I have clients in LA, New York, Australia even. So we're everywhere. But my business is Alma Feliz Group. Alma Feliz means happy soul in Spanish, at almafeliz.com. And then we're an Alma Feliz in every social platform. And then me, Lola Linarte, I'm Lola Linarte on almost every social platform. And I can't wait to hear from people. I'm an open book. So I'm ready for questions for anybody if they're interested.
Awesome. Well, then thank you for joining the sesh. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
All right, thank you.